A lot of people think of trust as what I call predictive trust, which means that you and I have known each other long enough to where if you say this, I know how you're gonna, what you really mean. Or if I say this to you, this is probably how you're gonna react. Any two people that have known each other for a long period of time can have predictive trust. But that's not what I'm talking about, the kind of trust on a team. What I'm talking about on a team is what we call vulnerability-based trust. Vulnerability-based trust. That's when human beings on a team can say things to one another genuinely like, I don't know the answer. I think I need help. I think I made a huge mistake. I want to be more like you. Teach me how to be more like you because I admire you. And I'm sorry, what I said yesterday was out of line, and I that was just wrong of me. When human beings can genuinely, honestly say those things to one another on a team, and everybody knows that everyone else on that team is capable of being that human, that vulnerable, it creates a powerful, powerful bond of trust on a team. But unfortunately, it's rarer than we know.
This is episode 31 of Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, and I'm your host, Steve. Today's topic is trust, the secret ingredient for getting things done. In the intro, that was Patrick Lencioni talking about what trust is when thinking about teams. Unfortunately, leaders, especially new leaders, charge straight ahead into the abyss without thinking about how they will create connection, build relationships, and establish trust. I think you'll get a lot out of today's show. Thanks for joining us today and week after week. I hope that you'll stop by iTunes or StitcherRadio.com and leave us a rating and definitely subscribe. Don't forget, share us with your friends, your colleagues, your family members. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
We're going to talk a little bit today about trust and the idea of what it takes to create this, and that you have to pay attention to it when you go in as a leader, whether it's as a team leader, whether it's as a building leader, organizational leader, that you have to take time to build trust, that you have to be purposeful about it. Now, I got to tell you, I've been around for a while and I've been in many different organizations, and I've been that person who's had to go into a building charged with making change, and it's very obvious that you can't ignore, or at least it is to me, that you can't ignore the need to build trust with people. You know, Seth Godin in his book Tribes says that leadership is not management. And if you read that section, what he talks about is that leaders create followers. That's not management. Leadership is a whole different level. And if we're going to be leaders, we have to understand that we have to take time to create connections, that you can't shortcut it. You can't go beyond it. It's something that too many times people just totally ignore. One of my favorite leadership gurus is John Maxwell. And in his book, Winning with People, on page 109, he says, one way a lot of leaders come into an organization is to draw a line in the sand and say, follow me or else. And he goes on to say that often this results in high turnover because what the leader's doing is saying that it's my way or the highway. This is what we're going to do. And you're going to do it that way and like it or love it. You know, and at some point, this is when you get into the idea of what's that old saying that the beatings will continue until morale improves. Well, you can't do that. If you're really going to make change, if you're really going to come into an organization, if you're going to come into a team, to try and accomplish something, well, you've got to learn how to work together. And how do you do that? Well, you've got to figure out how to develop those relationships that are so necessary. You can't avoid it. I don't care what type of organization it is, whether it's a extracurricular outside of work organization, like Boy Scouts or some sort of youth league, PTA, or whether it's the organization itself, whether it's a corporate job, whether it's a corporate environment, or whether it's a doctor's office, or whether it's a school or a school system. You've got to take time. You can't ignore these steps. just because you hire people or just because you assign people to a team or just because you say, hey, we really need you to be on this team, doesn't mean that they'll accomplish anything. Because in order to accomplish something, they have to be able to work together. And in order to be able to work together, they've got to be able to trust each other. In the opening to this section, you heard Patrick Lencioni, one of my all-time favorites, talk about what trust is. The idea that they can be vulnerable with each other, that they can say, hey, I made a mistake, or oops, or, you know, I don't really agree with what you're saying, and this is why. Oh my goodness, those are examples of trust. The idea that you can disagree with each other, or that you can admit that you made a mistake, or that you can come back and apologize. But that doesn't happen overnight, because matter of fact, usually what takes place in a team is that they come together in a meeting and they're very quiet because they just want to get the meeting over with. They don't take pride in the fact that they have this meeting. They're not really looking forward to accomplishing anything. They just want to get through it. Why? Because there's something missing. There's some reason why they don't want to talk in front of the others. Maybe one of them's been hurt by another. Maybe it's just they realize that they don't value their opinion. Who knows? The point is if there's no trust, the team's not going to accomplish much because instead they're just tolerating each other instead of really, really working together. I had Patrick Lencioni at the very beginning because, like I said, he's one of my favorite authors, and in a book called most recently, The Advantage, but before that, in 2002, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, he delves into this idea in his model of the absence of trust. That this is one of those major dysfunctions in a team, that if it's not paid attention to, that a team will just not accomplish anything. I mean, how can it if they don't really if all they do is just tolerate each other? You see it. Some of you can right now are probably shaking your heads going, yeah, I've been there. I mean, if you know, in Lencioni's book, The Advantage, he talks about it. This is page 65. By the way, I'll put links to these different books because I'm going to go through a couple of them here in a minute. But in Lencioni's book, The Advantage, where he revisits his model about the dysfunctions of the team and attaches it to other thoughts, he says the ultimate part of building greater trust, conflict, commitment, and accountability is one thing, the achievement of results. The ultimate part of building greater trust, conflict, commitment, and accountability is one thing, the achievement of results. Why do we do all this? Because the team, the organization, needs to accomplish something. Well, is it really going to be able to make it through those tough times, do whatever it takes to be able to accomplish anything if the part about connecting with each other is skipped? Probably not. You know the answer to that. Have you ever worked on a team like that? I have. I worked on a team once. And by the way, I've got numerous stories, but I worked on one once where several of us just, you know, you got in that meeting, you did not trust that if you disagreed with something, that it wouldn't be taken out of context or that you wouldn't be shot as the messenger or that, you know, it would just be ignored and saved for later as something to be used against you. Wow, you know, that's no fun. As a principal in a building going in to make change, I realize that you have to spend time with people to get them to know each other. And even though some of the things that we did to try and do that, from playing soccer with each other to racing slot cars to just going out to dinner or hanging out before we need to go monitor a football game, you know, there's any number of things, but just that spending time together is so important because that's one way of starting to get to know each other and creating those connections where you start to establish that trust. If you get a chance, I strongly encourage you to take a look at Lencioni's works, The Advantage and The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, and I strongly encourage you to start with The Five Dysfunctions. The base of his model, the very base, it's a pyramid, and the very base of that model is the absence of trust, he says, is the number one dysfunction of a team. They will not get along, they will not accomplish anything, or at least they will not achieve great results because they don't get along with each other, they don't trust each other, they just comply with what whoever the leader of that team or the organization is. Oh my goodness. I mean, that's what's going to happen there? Well, it's fairly predictable. There's probably some sort of infighting going on. They don't want to show it in front of whoever that team leader is. So when they leave the meeting, you know, they just go their separate ways. They don't work together. They don't try to work together. And the team stumbles. And the organization stumbles. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been there? Have you been in this type of organization? Whether you're in schools or whether you're in a corporate world, whether you're in a hospital, whatever it is, have you been on one of those teams or in one of those organizations where you know what I'm talking about? You sit in the meeting and you're just kind of, boy, I can't wait till this is over with. I disagree with something, but I'm not going to say it because I'm afraid to just fill in that blank there. Have you been on a team like that? Think about it. Did you really accomplish anything on that team, or did you just look forward to leaving that organization or, you know, signing off on something to say, oh, I'm done with this, I agree, let's move on. Well, let's go on to think about what this idea about establishing trust, because you can't have a team accomplish anything if they don't work together, if they don't trust each other. And so a big part of being a leader, the difference between management and leadership, is that you're trying to create followers. You're trying to create team members. You're trying to create doers, people who want to go after and accomplish much. And so I want to kind of turn to the words of Daniel Pink, who in his book, To Sell as Human, he talks about two findings in a survey that he developed. Those two findings are people are now spending about 40% of their time at work engaged in non-sales selling, persuading, influencing, and convincing others in ways that don't involve making a purchase. And the second finding was people consider the aspect of the work crucial to their professional success. This is on page 21 of To Sell as Human by Daniel Pink. And let me go back to that. Major part of that finding is that people are now spending about 40% of their time at work engaged in non-sales selling, persuading, influencing, and convincing. As a leader, you're going to spend time doing this because you have to figure out how to overcome or how to incorporate the ideas of your team members. So you're going to spend time trying to persuade, influence, and convince. This is either, you know, hey, let's listen to your ideas and let's work this out. Or, hey, that was a great idea. You know, how can you get them to work together? Well, it involves selling. Persuading, influencing, and convincing that we've got to overcome our petty differences in order to accomplish what we're here to accomplish. In a school, the people who suffer are the kids if we don't come together. In the corporate world, whatever it is, the product that you're trying to ultimately sell to somebody, if you're a lawyer, your clients, if you're a doctor, your patients, whatever. The people who suffer are the ones that you're trying to figure out how to help and assist. So let's think about this for a minute. I mean, have you ever been in a situation where you're on a team and the team doesn't get along and the leader won't deal with it? In that base level of the five dysfunctions of a team by Lencioni, what you see, the absence of trust, is all these failures to get along, the unwillingness to challenge somebody, to say, I disagree with you, because you feel like you're going to be zapped as a result of that. We have to be able to overcome that. Well, that doesn't just happen. You have to do something. You have to get together. There has to be a statement made from the leader of the group. This is part of leadership as opposed to management. And you've got to say, look, here we are. This is the group. This is the team. This is the leadership group. We have to be able to get along. We have to be able to argue with one another. We have to be able to disagree with one another. We have to be able to air our differences. We have to be able to play and want to be with each other if we're going to accomplish much, if we're going to be able to achieve excellent results. We have to be able to get along with each other, and not just get along. This is not just congeniality or collegiality. This is about being real and trusting with each other. We have to be willing to make mistakes and know that we won't be made fun of as soon as the door opens and people go their separate ways. And so the leader has to be able to say at the beginning of the meeting, let's start with this one thing. And this one thing is that we got to figure out how to trust each other. And so one of the ways that we start that is we have to come to an agreement. That door is closed right now, and in this room, anything we talk about has to stay here. If it doesn't, it'll get back. Believe me, people talk. Once you leave this room, there are forces out there that would like to try and separate us and pull us apart as a team, and we have to be able to overcome those forces. So how do we do that? Well, first, we agree that in this room is where our disagreements stay. Once we leave that, we are one unified force. And you ask them, can you agree with that? Don't just say yes because you think that's what I want to hear. You actually say, it is important. It is just beyond important. It is so necessary for you to understand that as a team member, a member of this organization, that if you have a disagreement, it needs to happen in this room. Once we get into that world, once we're focused in front of everybody else, you have to be supporting the mission, you have to be on the team. And that has to be said, not only said, but it also has to be lived and breathed by the leader. If not, the rest of the team members go, what a joke, man, he doesn't live it either. I'm not going to do that. If we've got to establish trust, then we've got to figure out how we're going to do that. If we're going to be able to say that we trust each other, well, how? That doesn't just happen because you come to an agreement in a room that we're going to keep everything in this room. Well, you have to do the next thing, which is in order to create trust, we've got to spend some time with each other. We've got to get to know each other. Because until then, we really won't trust each other. And remember, going back to what Lencioni said at the beginning of the program, he said that they've got to be able to make mistakes. They've got to be able to disagree. They've got to be able to be real, who they are in that room. Well, that's difficult. And I got to tell you, I've tried this before. I've spent years sharing as I've created different teams and different organizations to try and make change. One of my mentors introduced me to Lencioni many moons ago. And ever since then, I have bought many copies of this book and given it to my team members. And we've spent time reading, we've spent time discussing, and we've spent all the time through his complete model. And we spent time with each other trying to figure out how we can develop those connections and develop those relationships that are so necessary to building trust. And like I said earlier, I've had different ways in which I've tried to do this. From the start, you need time to meet with each other. You need time, whether it's coming together in the hallways and just for 5 minutes say, hey, let's all meet over here and let's talk for a second. What's going on with your day? To whether it's real meetings that last longer than that are scheduled. Whether it's after work on a Friday, you go to wherever. You go to some pizza place and you have a pizza and you have some conversation, some laughter. Put some music in the jukebox or on the iPhone, whatever. The point is that you got to spend time together. How about beyond eating together? Because that's one start. If you got some time during the day, eat together and talk. Don't just sit there. Oh, you made me be here to eat. No, that's not why you're there. Spend some time together. If you're in a school where you have supervisory duties? Okay, we're close. Make sure that you come in contact with the others and on purpose, chit-chat for a minute. Get to know, laugh. There's some things that you can do to help create these interactions, especially before the school year starts, or before everything comes together and whatever your organization is. How about you create time? Make time and say, hey, we've got to spend some time together so we start, know what makes each other laugh, what makes each other angry. So we have those times to have those conversations. One of the really cool things we did one time, I have a friend who has he's a national slot car racer. You know, the little electric cars that go around the racetrack? Well, what's cool is that he has one of these massive tracks. He has actually several, and he has these little cars that have been rigged to go faster than fast. Oh, too cool. Well, nothing like getting your team in something like that, and they're standing there racing against each other. That's so cool. Time well spent as they connect with each other, as you see people get frustrated, as you see people ask for help, as you ask for, oh my goodness, you beat me again. Whatever. It's fun and it connects you. How about through stories? How about through sports? I tried building connections by having my team play sports. We played soccer together. I used it as a lesson to talk about the concept of how in soccer, the only way you win is if all the players are working together as a team. And we used that analogy, taught them some soccer skills, and then we played and had fun. How about bigger than that? We used to do create some activities where you bring the whole school together and you divide up into teams, which you make sure that there's not loaded teams, so you have someone in charge of all that. And then you create activities in which they can participate with one another. And whether it's the whole organization or just one segment of it, you actually do some silly things, whether it's memorization games, whether it's trivia, whether it's actual tug of rope against one another, whether it's a basketball game, whatever, where they actually get a chance to do some competition, interact, laugh, have fun, smile. And wouldn't you know it, they're building those relationships that lead to trust. Now, I got to tell you, it doesn't happen overnight, but what it does require is that it's purposeful and that you spend time with each other. Is that so bad? I got to tell you, if you don't do it, if you don't think about it, if you come into a building, if you come into a team and say, all right, here are your assignments, boom, 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 boom. Come on, you can predict what's going to happen there. People are going to say, yeah, thank you very much. May I have another? And not really mean it. There are going to be others who are going to be like, yeah, I just want to get this over with. And are you really going to be successful in achieving good results, great results, awesome results, if your team members can't get along with each other? And you know the answer to that. Nope. Some ways of establishing trust are for your team members to start rewarding each other. Not only do you spend time, but ask them to create a way in which they recognize when each other does something as a team member. Have you thought about that? What different ways could you do that? Everything from, you know, the idea of maybe they say something nice during the meeting. You start off at the beginning. You know, in Boy Scouts, they used to have something they called roses and thorns. At the beginning of a meeting, someone's supposed to say, you know, that's where you said the things that you were happy with, the things you were sad about. Well, how about you just have thorn time when, let me try that one again. How about you just have rose time when what you do is each other shares something nice or something, or they submit something to you to say, I want some time to say something nice about one of my teammates because they were such a teammate because they did the following. They came to my assistance. They helped me with something. They didn't, you know, just out of the blue, they just were there for me. Think about it. What different ways could you do that? Even if it's just you have a bucket of, you have a cooler full of Diet Cokes, root beer, you know, whatever it is, lemonade, and they get a chance to give another team member one of those. It was real cool. I knew this, my sons had this teacher one time who, his name was Dr. Brown, and Dr. Brown gave out Dr. Brown soda, and the different flavors of soda had different meanings. So like if you got the root beer, that was for this level of function, you know, and what he was recognizing. And if you got the orange soda, well, that was for some other area and category. Oh my gosh, the kids ate that up. Well, how about within your own teams? Can you come up with some way of recognizing each other's success? A medallion, a pin. You know, think about it. What could you do? One of my all-time favorite, I like lots of different music, and one of my all-time favorite musicians, songwriters, entertainers, was Elvis. Elvis had the band called Taking Care of Business, or TCB. And they talked about taking care of business with a flash. And he had the little lightning bolt TCB symbol. He had these little pins made up. One time I came up with the idea that I'll buy some little lightning bolts. And we talked about what taking care of business means. And they could recognize each other with those little lightning bolts. And they could give them to each other with a little certificate that said, You rock, man. You take care of business. And I gave you a lightning bolt for that. Thanks for taking care of business in a flash. Thanks, Elvis, for that idea. I mean, think about it. What other ways? Could you use something within your organization, something within your own organization, something that's a symbol of the school, a symbol of the business? What is it you could do to help bring your people together, to help them have fun, to help them work together, help them recognize each other when they do something that is so team-worthy, so that they start building the relationships that lead to the ability to trust one another, so that when they're in the meetings, they can say what they think, so that they can talk the way they need to be able to talk, so they can ask for help, apologize for making a mistake, say, I'm sorry the way I was last week, I don't know what was going on there. Thank you very much for your assistance. Whatever. They're willing to be themselves in the room. That takes time. That requires time spent to create that. You know, it's funny, so often in so many of our organizations, we just go about doing whatever it is we need to do, and we try and skip this part. You can't do it. I got to read this to you. This is from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He said, the glory of friendship is not the outstretched hand, not the kindly smile, nor the joy of companionship. It is the spiritual inspiration that comes to one when you discover that someone else believes in you and is willing to trust you with friendship. Wow, too cool. Think about it. When a team really is working together and comes together, what do they do? What do they do? They start interacting in a way in which they extend their hand in friendship. in which they root for you to help accomplish whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, in which they step forward and they say, let's go, man. I may disagree with you on different things, but it's time to move forward. So that when that door is closed, they do have those real conversations. And when they step outside, they're there for the vision, the mission, and they're there for the team. Think about it. How about your own organization? What's going on there? Are you real in your team meetings? Or are you just the emperor with no clothes? You know, think about it. The emperor and the story of the emperor with the new clothes. Nobody would tell him that he was wearing nothing. You don't want to be on a team like that. A dysfunctional team that doesn't trust each other will be so like that. Because they won't want to disagree. They won't want to really participate. And what's at the basis of all that? The lack of trust. So I got to tell you this. I strongly encourage you to take a look at some of these works that I've been talking about today. If you've never read anything by Patrick Lencioni and you're a leader of an organization or you're wanting to be one day, you need to check him out. And I would start with The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. It's amazing. At another time on this podcast, we'll review the whole book and the model. The Advantage, a more recent version, he goes in and he gets into more depth and details on other aspects. Just another amazing book. John Maxwell, another leadership guru. Anything by him is amazing. Winning with People is an incredible book, as well as The 17 Indisputable Laws of Teamwork and Leadership and any number of other books that he's written. Can't get enough of John Maxwell. And how about Daniel Pink? Daniel Pink, if you've not read To Sell is Human, and it's subtitled, by the way, The Surprising Truth About Moving Others, which fits with what we're talking about, right? And if you've not read his book, Drive, which has to do with what really motivates people, oh my goodness, it's time for you to do some reading. Oh yeah, don't forget Seth Godin, Tribes, Poke the Box. There's any number of books by him that are excellent for leadership. Keep him in mind also. My challenge to you today is, what are you going to do to build trust in your organization? Well, are you going to take the time? Are you going to spend time to really create a plan to create that team that starts trusting one another so you can overcome dysfunction number one, the absence of trust? Thanks for listening today. Hope you enjoyed it, and I hope it made you think. Don't forget to subscribe to us. Share us with your friends. Share us with your colleagues. And I hope you'll join us again next week. Have an awesome, awesome day.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.com. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store or at Stitcher.com. Check back often for updates and new material.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the heart of Georgia Precinct.